I'm going to read this morning from the Gospel of Luke. This is one of the healing stories as we follow along to learn about God's healing in our lives and in our church. One day, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So the crowd of Pharisees and teachers of the law had come to hear Jesus. Jesus was in town teaching, and they all gathered around to hear him. Most likely they came because they were investigating him. Most likely they came because they were coming to test him to see whether or not Jesus' teachings were in agreement with theirs. You know, it's bad enough to be encompassed by a crowd of any kind, but then to know that the crowd is sitting there testing your worth and judging you can be even more difficult. Well, while Jesus is sitting there teaching, four men carry a paralyzed man on a mat to see Jesus. For me, this scene conjures up the olden days when I used to work in the hospital and we used gurneys to transport people who needed healing. Now, I got to tell you that even using a gurney that rolls on wheels to transport someone is really hard work. It's bulky, it's difficult, it's hard to get around corners. I can't even imagine what it would have been like to lift up one of those gurneys. One of my early patients was a man suffering from pancreatic cancer. And he used to call me Crash because I'd bump into everything as I was trying to steer him around the hallways. So you learn very quickly that dealing with a patient on a stretcher is kind of like cradling an egg. This is delicate work. So imagine these four men carrying this stretcher, setting it down to rest every so often, And finding then this huge crowd around Jesus and no way to get to him, they decide they're going to lift this stretcher up to the roof. And they say that the roofs that would have been typical of that time were created by beams that were, you know, a foot or two apart. And there was thatching, sticks and mud and stuff in between them. So it really wouldn't have been too hard to get between the beams to break open the roof, but it really would have been a lot of work to lift that man up on top of the roof in order to get him down in. This was hard work, very hard work, and it took all four men to accomplish it. I think of the men and the women in this community who work rescue. I think of those on the military battlefield who stop at nothing to rescue those who have fallen and what it takes for them to get around the obstacles that they're presented with. Well, the four men lower this paralytic down, and Jesus says to them, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, this man who is laying there on the mat has not asked for anything. It doesn't say that he's repented. It doesn't say that he has even moved toward Jesus. It doesn't say that he's even aware of what's going on. And Jesus says to him, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." It says that Jesus saw the faith of the four men, and without any further need, Jesus forgives this man's sin. Well, the outrage and the opposition of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law come at him full force and say, "That's ridiculous. That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive." Well, Jesus has full control of this situation. He knows what he is up against. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law understood God through a reward and punishment system that they had created, a practice of heaping condemnations on victims. And Jesus wants them to learn otherwise. What better way than to perform a miracle? And so he asked them, "Is it easier to say that your sins are forgiven or to say, 'Get up and walk'?" And turning to the paralytic, he says, "I tell you, stand up, take your mat, and go home." You know what my question is after all of this? I wonder what they did to that hole in the roof. That opening that allowed grace to enter into the lives of the faithful, that opening that allowed grace to heal this paralytic man. You know, these days, the causes for paralysis are many. Doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be a paraplegic or a quadriplegic, although with the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, we certainly have plenty of wounded warriors to care for. But paralysis can be caused by just about anything. Cancer, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, AIDS, any illness can create paralysis. Grief can create paralysis. Addiction can create paralysis. Some relationships can create paralysis. Whatever keeps someone from living a fully human life can be a form of paralysis. Living with paralysis limits our perspective. We can't look around too far beyond our situation. But Jesus did not allow paralysis to interrupt our relationship with God. Free-flowing grace pours out over paralyzed lives, even when we don't ask for it. Back to my days in the hallways of the hospitals, transporting people to their surgery or their chemotherapy or radiation, one reality hits home. When people are paralyzed, they cannot get to where they need to go on their own. Someone has to help them. Jesus knew this. And he saw four men who we are not even told what their relationship is to this paralyzed man. Four men whose faith did not rest on the law. Four men whose faith would not give up no matter what obstacles, no matter the hard work that it took for them. Four men who were as sure as they could be that Jesus could help. Here's the thing. That hole in the roof was an opening for God's grace to flow. And it happened like this. Four friends carrying a friend on a mat. Faith, as you surely know it, my friends, is not something that we do on our own. I am pleased to announce that today we here at Wesley become a Stephen Ministry congregation. We have two people who have attended Stephen Ministry training. Brenda Denham took the training a few years ago, and Darlene Spurlock just completed her training. Now, Stephen Ministry is a ministry of caring for those who are facing a challenge in their lives. Stephen ministers are trained to provide one-on-one emotional and spiritual support. Someone may be dealing with a crisis and may need someone in faith to listen to their story, to pray with them, to walk along this journey for a period of time with them. It may be as simple as aging or loneliness. It may be the birth of a child or addition of new family members through marriage. It may be divorce. It could be death or a chronic illness. But Stephen Ministry is there to assist those who are dealing with new challenges. Stephen Ministry is a confidential ministry, which means that if you are in need or if you know someone who is in this kind of need, all you need to do is talk with your pastor, come to me and let me know, and a Stephen Ministry assignment will be made. Here in Northern Virginia, we are part of a network with 30 churches who support Stephen Ministry and train Stephen Ministry together. Brenda and Darlene could be assigned to care receivers here in this congregation, or they could be assigned care receivers from other churches or even folks in the community. One of my last assignments was made to a woman who was from China, who had received a diagnosis of cancer and had a four-year-old at home. So she was not even a member of a church and was able to receive the kind of ministry that a caregiver from Stephen Ministry gives. Stephen ministers are assigned men to men and women to women. So in this congregation at present time, we have no men Stephen ministers. We would need to ask from the network to assign a Stephen minister to a male if that need was arise. Today we are going to commission Darlene and Brenda for this work in our community. Stephen ministry is kind of like the ministry that involves four men carrying someone to Jesus on a mat. While we celebrate today the ascension of Christ, we must remember that the ascension, the raising up, is about God, but that we as followers of Christ must bear with those who suffer. We must be willing to go down so that we might bring others to Christ. Stephen Ministry provides small group support for Stephen ministers. We will be joining with Washington Farm to accomplish continuing education here. And we hope that each of you today might consider becoming a Stephen minister. The skills that you learn in Stephen ministry are skills that are useful at home, at work. Doesn't matter where you serve. It may be somewhere out in the community. But the next training program isn't until January, so you have plenty of time to think about whether or not this is for you. I hope that you will take that opportunity to pray about that. Perhaps the image of four men carrying a stretcher is a good image for Stephen ministry. But perhaps that this image of four men carrying a stretcher is a good image for our church, an image for evangelism, for carrying others to Jesus. We come together as those who have faith, and even just a little, working together to help others through the opening that Jesus creates to extend God's love and mercy. Let us pray for every heart that is transformed away from the paralysis of condemnation, allowing men and women to walk on their own, living fully free and forgiven lives. Signs and wonders, miracles, yes, even today. And we are blessed to bear this witness. Amen.